Welcome to COTK Online. It is awesome to be with you. My heart and passion is to see you grow in your faith. So here's the deal though. Everybody has faith because faith is simply the core of what we truly believe deep down inside of us. But I want you to grow in biblical faith, that you become what God has created you to be. So how do we do that? Well, we're going to look at the book of 1 Timothy, where Paul, St. Paul, the greatest apostle of them all, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, he calls Timothy his true son in faith, and he gives him instructions in 1 Timothy. And so that's what I want us to look at today, how we can grow in faith, and really the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy to encourage him in his faith so that he could be what God created him to be. Listen, faith is huge. I've said this many times to many people, particularly those who are atheists. I'm like, man, it requires an awful lot of faith to believe that everything happened by accident, that we're just a product of random circumstance. That's just, to me, that requires an awful lot of faith. But biblical faith, it's not hokey pokey. It can be mysterious, but really it's rooted in understanding the truth of who God is. And there's such security and peace in that. We're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul writes this in verse 2, says, I'm writing to Timothy, my true son in the faith. And then he says in verse 5, he says this, he says, the purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love. What's the first fruit that grows in our life when we walk and live by the Spirit of God? It is love. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. But the first one is love. And Paul is echoing this here. And he's saying, the purpose of my instruction, in other words, he's writing to Timothy to say that I would pray. He said, the purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. And so I want you to grow in what you believe so that you can have that pure heart, a clear conscience, and that everything you do is lived through a life that operates in love because you have an abiding faith. It's deep inside of you. You know that God's good. You know who you are because you've communed with Him. So we're going to look at what he writes specifically to Timothy. So we're going to jump over to verse 18. And this is where Paul writes, and he says, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you. So remember, he had just said, listen, the purpose of my instruction is that everybody operates in love, that they have a pure heart, a clean conscience, and they're filled with faith. Now he personalizes it and he says, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. That means other people had seen what was in him that God had put in there and spoken that over Timothy. I hope you have those people in your life. And if you do, I hope you're doing that to other people around you where you see what God has called them to and you speak and pray over them. He says, my instructions for you, it's based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Listen, life is a battle. And Paul's writing and saying, here's my instruction for you. And I remember everything that people spoke prophetically, that they saw, just that they had the gift to be able to see what it was God created you for, who you were, what your calling was. So my instructions based on all of that, just the revelation of God of who you are and what He's created you to be, because sometimes we can't see ourselves clearly. And God will use the people around us that love Him and love us to give us a good picture of ourselves. It's like a spiritual mirror. The reality is, if I had a big grease mark on my nose right now, I couldn't see it, though it's the closest thing to me. But everybody viewing me could. And we need those people around us that can see what God has called us to, that can see who we were created to be. Like they know it and they speak life over us. And we're called to be that to others. And that's where Paul is saying, I'm basing my instruction for you on that. And he says, may they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Listen, you'll never win the battle that you face in life if you don't know who God is and you don't know who you are and you don't have people around you who can remind you of all of that. You need that. And then he says this in verse 19. And I think it's the first stepping stone for Timothy and for us to understand how we grow in our faith. Here it is, verse 19. Cling to your faith in Christ. Cling to your faith in Christ. The centrality biblically, even through the Old Testament, of who Jesus is, that it's God in human form, that God so loved us that he didn't just send himself. He came as he sent his son, because, and I've said this so many times, but God loved us so much that he didn't come and die. He sent his son to come and pay the price for the curse of sin and to see that broken through the breaking of his own son. Why is that a bigger demonstration of his love for us? Because I believe that many people would lay down their life for somebody else. I may very well lay down my life for you, even though I've never known you. If there's a situation and somebody comes in that's gonna try and take people's life, I may very well step in and say, no, I'm gonna stop this guy even if it costs me my life. But I don't know that I'd be willing to lay my son down. It's Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ, his son, died for us. Cling to your faith in Christ. Man, what is your relationship with Jesus like? He's not just a historical figure, though he is that. History proves that he lived. We know that historically. He's not just a historical figure. I mean, he is to historians, and he is to just a lot of people. But what is he to you? Because there's a difference between knowing all about Jesus. I mean, you may know all about Tom Cruise, just had that movie come out, Top Gun, biggest grossing movie of all times, right out the gate. It's amazing. It's a wonder. People know all about Tom Cruise, and they may feel like they know him, but I don't know anybody who actually knows Tom Cruise. See, there's a difference between knowing about somebody and knowing someone. And here's what I want for you, to cling to your faith in Christ because you know him. You don't just know about him. You don't just read about him in this book. You know him. There's been that introduction with a revelation of who he is because you didn't just read his name on a page. He spoke who he was to you and he called you to him. Cling to those moments, those God moments. Man, I look back in my life and I tell the story to myself. It's my testimony. Actually, Revelation says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That means what Jesus did for us and the words of our testimony. And this is what Paul is saying, that like, cling to your faith in Christ. In other words, I need to remind myself of those moments where Jesus has met me. At 8 years old, when I had the light bulb moment, where Jesus spoke to me and called me to him, and I surrendered my life to him. At 14 years old, where he called me to serve him with all of my life. At 19 years old, where he called me out of the program that I was in to go into med school a year early, and he called me to him, and I ended up teaching school, didn't know what I was gonna do. At 30 years old, when he called me to Lake Charles, began to whisper to me about planning a church. Like, there's so many moments where God's spoken to me. I need to remember those and hold on to them. And we see in the Old Testament, when they would walk into the place that God had for them, they would build an altar of uncut stones. In other words, it was the natural thing right there. They grabbed the uncut stone. They didn't put their hand on it. They put uncut stones and they piled them up as a place of remembrance. Do you cling to your faith in Christ? Where has he met you? And the second thing that he says, keep your conscience clear. That means don't do things that you know you shouldn't do. James 4:17 says this, the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it to him, it is sin. So when you violate your own conscience, it never works out well for you. I'm just going to tell this white lie. I'm just gonna do this once because I know it's not probably right, but I think I ought to do it. That is called violating your conscience. Why does he warn him about that? He says, first, cling to your faith. That's number one, only of five things. Number one, cling to your faith. Number two, keep your conscience clear. And he gives an example why. For some people have deliberately violated their conscience, and as a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. And then he names a guy, Hymenaeus and Alexander are two examples. I threw them out and handed them over to Satan so that they might learn to not blaspheme God. They did what they knew they weren't supposed to do, and it shipwrecked their faith. do what you know is the right thing to do. Cling to your faith in Christ. In other words, doubt your doubts, believe your beliefs, go back and remember where God's met you and give him thanks for that. And keep a clear conscience. Here's the third thing. It's in chapter 2, verse 1. Then he says, I urge you, first of all, remember he's still talking to Timothy. He says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Here's the thing, the third thing. Pray for people. So I'm going to ask you a question. I can't see you. But I'm going to ask you to answer sincerely. When's the last time you prayed for someone? Like really prayed for someone. When was that? I hope it's recent. If it is, that's awesome. Here's my next question. When's the last time you prayed for someone and they were there with you and you did it out loud over them? Something happens to you and them when you begin to pray for people. But he doesn't just say pray for people. That's my third point, pray for people. Then he says, intercede on their behalf. Your prayers are heard by God, and God will be moved by your prayers. And then he says, and give thanks for them. Here's the funny thing. A lot of times the people that we're praying for would be like, I got to pray for that person because they're crazy. Why don't you find an aspect of who they are that you can give thanks for? And if you're praying over them, even if you don't like them, even if they're an enemy, actually the Bible says you pray for somebody who's an enemy, it's like heaping coals on their head. Something happens to you and to them, because you know what you're doing? Declaring prophetic words over them as you're grateful to God for who they are and what they've done. Even if they've done some terrible things, you can still pray for them, intercede for them, and give thanks, because there's a redeeming virtue in everybody. How do we grow in faith? Cling to our faith in Christ. Keep our conscience clear. Pray for people. Pray for people. So let's turn to chapter 4. Verse 14. Remember, he's still talking to Timothy, and I'm just jumping ahead to some of the very specific things. In verse 14, this is what he says. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. So here's the fourth thing. Use your spiritual gift. Use your gifts. You are gifted by God. Maybe you're an encourager. Maybe you have faith that you can believe God for big things. You know, maybe you have a gift of hospitality. You can make people feel great. Maybe God's gifted you musically or mathematically. Just recognize that First John says this. It says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. So what are the good things that you know that God's placed in your life? Use those. Use them and give him glory. If you're going like, I don't even know what my gifts are. We have spiritual gifts discovery about every 6 weeks. We can put a link to that in the chat box underneath so that you can sign up for spiritual gifts discovery so you can figure out how God's wired you. If you say, I don't know how I'm gifted, we have a session that it's about a four-hour session. It's a lot of fun, actually. Our whole staff has done it. Most of our leadership has done it that serves in our church. It helps you to see how God's wired you so that you can operate in the gifting that he's given you. Because you know what the result is? You feel fulfilled. Because you are using the gifts that God gave you, the way that he wired you, you're now operating in it so that other people can see how good God is. And the cool thing is the byproduct, you feel so fulfilled because you're operating in something that comes naturally to you because it's how God made you. How do you grow in faith? Cling to Christ. Keep your conscience clear. Pray for people. Give thanks for people. But use the gifts that God's given you. And lots of people are like, I don't know what that are. I don't know what they are. Sign up for spiritual gifts discovery. And then here's the last thing. He says, don't neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you with the elders of the church as they laid their hands on you. But by the way, like, when's the last time you were around people that you asked them to pray for you and speak life over you? And then he says, give your complete attention to these matters and throw yourself into your tasks. In other words, use your giftings so that everyone will see your progress. Then we're going to look at verse 16. Keep a close watch on how you live and your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. How do we grow in faith? Cling to Christ, keep your conscience clear, pray for people, use your gifts. But here's the last thing. Look at your life, because it's bigger than just you. So often we're like so introspectively focused that we don't realize the significance of the impact that we have on the people around us. And so Paul is writing to Timothy. He's like his son. And he's saying, Timothy, son, keep a close watch on how you live. How you teach. And you may say, well, I'm not a teacher. Everything you do, people are watching and they'll learn from you. It's one of the things that I was told by my supervisor when I was 21 years old. I started working for the post office as a mail carrier. And one of the things the supervisor told me the first day I was going out to carry by myself, he looked at me, I'll never forget it, his name was Jason. He looked at me and said, I want you to remember something. Even if you think that you are all by yourself, somebody's always watching the mailman. You're always being watched. Remember that. And that stuck with me because he didn't want me like chinching out and taking shortcuts, not delivering the mail, throwing mail away. That's like federal offenses and a big deal. And he just reminded me that people are always watching me. People are always watching you. So look at your life. Keep a close watch on how you live, on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation. In other words, doing the right thing pays off for you, but it also impacts others. That's why he says, and the salvation of those who hear you. Because the way that you live, the words that you speak, the people that you pray for, the mind that you keep, and the God that you serve, all have a way bigger impact in the world around you than you realize. So my prayer for you is that you can grow in faith because you are rooted in Christ. You are living right. You are praying for people. You are using your life and the gifting that God's given you to impact others. And you're constantly going, Lord, help me. Look, is there anything that you see? David of David and Goliath fame, after a big mess up in his life in Psalms 51, he says, search me, O God. See if there's anything unclean in me. Maybe you need to do that right now. Maybe your faith has been stagnant. I can tell you how that happens. You've taken your eyes off Christ. You've violated, even if it's small, your conscience. Probably haven't prayed for anybody in a while. Probably haven't prayed over someone in a long time. Probably haven't been using your gifts, or if you have, you've used them for your own building up rather than other people. Probably stopped looking so introspectively of where you want God to use you. So maybe that's you. Maybe you're going, I need to take a look inward. Let me just say, the beautiful thing about serving the Lord is when you mess up, it's not like he's a million miles away. He's right there waiting for you to turn to him. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you need to turn to him. Maybe you're asking yourself, how do I do that? It's really simple. Just acknowledge, God, I've been far from you. Maybe you've never really surrendered to him. Just acknowledge that truth, Lord, I've been far from you. And then you just know that Jesus died on that cross for you. At your worst, he was on that cross thinking of you. And it wasn't a bad thing. It was, I'm doing this for you because he loved you. God loved you so much that he sent his son to die and break the curse of sin in your life. Just acknowledge, man, I've been far from you. Jesus, I do believe you died on that cross for me. And then speak it out. Speak it out. Say it out. Write it out. Lord, I'm turning to you. I receive your forgiveness and I turn from my sin. Maybe that's you. You need to do that. Just pray with me. Say, Jesus, I know you are. You are the one true God. I know that you died on that cross to break the curse of sin in my life. I believe that. And today I'm saying right now, I am yours and I turn to you. Jesus, I receive your forgiveness. I surrender to you. I am following you. You are King and Lord of my life and I'm yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you did that, that's a brand new day. And I'm excited for you. Let us know the decision that you made. I want to help you partner with people that can help you grow, give you resources. If you need a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. If you have questions, we'll answer those. I want to see you grow in your faith. Let me just say, it's great being with you. Love being your pastor. Look forward to seeing you again soon. God bless.